I do ask myself, am I fulfilled in my work? Am I fulfilled in my personal life? Are those who are close to me, my family, my partner, are they fulfilled? Am I helping or hindering them? And artistically, like, do I feel like I am producing good art? Do I feel like the audiences that I am reaching are fulfilled by the art that they're receiving?
This is Max Q, a podcast by Peabody's Launchpad office dedicated to demystifying what life is like after graduation. Every episode, we sit down with a recent Peabody alum to get their take on what life is like for a working artist in today's world. Jobs, work-life balance, finances, time management, we discuss that and more on the Max Q podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Christina Mancior. Today's interview is with Zoe Freed, who is an oboist and arts administrator who graduated from Peabody in 2016.
Well, Zoe, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I guess maybe we can just start a little bit if you could tell us what your life looks like right now.
Yeah, so I am currently the operations manager for the Shriver Hall Concert Series. It's a concert series located on the Homewood campus of Johns Hopkins University, but we are actually our own 501c3, so we have our own nonprofit status and everything like that. So we are a concert series that presents 8 classical subscription concerts a year and 3 free Discovery Series concerts. Outside of my admin job, I am an oboe teacher and performer, mostly of new music, but of all sorts. And outside of music, I am also an avid hiker and yogi, and I spend a lot of time with my dog. So, quick snapshot of my life.
Okay. I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about what your background is in terms of music performance and how you got into arts administration from there.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a very long and winding road, as many arts administrators will probably tell you. There's not one set way that most people fall into it. So my story starts when I was in school, and I came to Peabody for oboe performance, and my teacher, Jane Marveen, was a really big proponent of having students have not necessarily a backup plan, but just some skills that are developed that could help them essentially earn extra revenue if performing doesn't work out. Or in her case, she remembered when she was auditioning for orchestras, trying to get a full-time job, and she didn't have as many skills or resources to help fund and support herself while she was auditioning. So that was something that she really instilled in her students. And so I kind of fell into the track of music education, actually, and I started my music education degree here at Peabody, which is great because it's such a wonderful program. But while I was doing my dual degree, I realized that while I loved teaching, I didn't want to be a classroom teacher. And I started exploring other options, and I ultimately only got my certification in teaching, in instrumental teaching. And I also needed some money on the side while this was happening. So I started taking different jobs around school, around the campus. So I was working in the residence life and student affairs office, and I was an RA. And then I started working in the ensemble office and the concert office. And I was doing these little jobs here and there, kind of realizing, oh, I'm somebody who really likes being organized within the field of music. And so then I started applying for internships in arts administration and learning about what arts administration was. And before that point, maybe this is around my junior year of college, I didn't even know that arts administration existed. And so, because arts administration is kind of the thing, I always characterize it as the thing I do, all the things that everyone thinks happens by magic.
So it's nobody really talks about it.
Right, yeah. Right. And you only notice when something goes wrong, right? So it kind of makes sense that it wasn't so obvious to me that that was a career choice because it's truly a behind the scenes kind of thing. So I started looking at different internships and opportunities, and I got my first internship with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra Education Program in their Academy program the summer between my junior and my senior year of college. And that's when it really took off and my interest really peaked. And so after that, I started searching for any opportunity that I could just to see what this arts admin thing was all about. So after that, I came back to school. I continued to pick up different jobs around campus, and I stayed at the BSO as an intern throughout the year. And I ultimately became an assistant in the education program at the Baltimore Symphony while I was still in school. So I had graduated from intern to assistant and started doing work there. And I also did a development internship at the New York Philharmonic. And I also, one of my last campus jobs here was working in the Alumni and Development Relations Office at Peabody. So with all of that kind of exploration of the arts admin world under my belt, I actually applied for the 5-year master's program here at Peabody under the recommendation of my teacher, Jane, because we knew that arts admin had become a major interest of mine, but I wasn't quite ready just to jump into the field after my bachelor's degree because I was still kind of feeling it out, figuring out what my place was in it. So she recommended that I stay in school a little bit longer and try to figure that out. But I would still have to apply and I would still have to be accepted to the five-year program. And I was. And so in that year, I really just took some time to learn everything I could about it. And ultimately, by the time I graduated, I was able to get my first full-time job in arts administration at the Baltimore Choral Arts Society as their audience development manager. So it was a very windy road, and even in taking that job, I wasn't sure that administration was going to be my path forever, but coming right out of school, it was very appealing because it was a salary. As musicians, sometimes it's quite common to not know where your next paycheck is coming from, or when you're freelancing, trying to balance that out and to not have to worry about that was really nice for me. It was in marketing, but the job was mostly marketing, which was kind of the one area that I didn't have a lot of experience with during my internships. And through that job and through the end of my time in school, I started having this more profound idea of what arts administration was. And it wasn't just doing the things that nobody else wants to do or just doing as Excel sheets. I realized that I was creating an environment to allow the best art to happen in the giving them the best resources that I could so that the art could fully express itself.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that and your journey, because it's really interesting to hear the path that you took. I am curious if there's anything that surprises you about life after graduation.
Yes. So many things. It's hard to really know what to expect when you're about to graduate, and especially in the field of music, there's so many opportunities that you could have, and sometimes it's really nice to have an idea of what you want, but sometimes it's kind of hard to see that path. So I mean, the biggest surprise that I'm kind of even still feeling now after being out of school for a few years is the way that we are structured in school to work towards really specific goals, and then once those goals are over, there will be another one. So just things like And kind of in the short term too, because everything is separated by semester. So every semester, your brain is on a different wavelength. If you're mm-hmm. thinking about music history, maybe you're studying Baroque in one semester, and then you're doing, you know, contemporary music in the next semester. And even that's broken up by papers and assignments, or when you're in school, concerts, and it's changing constantly. And in my life, now that I have the experience of having regular full-time jobs, there are a lot of short-term goals still within those jobs, but I'm not working towards the idea of graduating. And when you're in school, mm-hmm. you're always like working towards that graduation. And for me, that was kind of like the end point, or that was like the ultimate goal. It's like, okay, I'm going to graduate. And now that I'm out of school, this is a little more philosophical approach to this question, but it's really surprised me at how I'm so trained to measure things in the short term. And now it's kind of hit me thinking about longer term things, even in my job, figuring out best practices or the way that I want to do my job or live, you know, and figuring out housing and things like that. That's been a really big change for me. It's a fun change, but I haven't really had to think about things this way before. So, yeah, taxes are another one.
what are your thoughts on managing those kind of long-term goals?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's one thing to think about kind of short-term goals and, okay, by tomorrow I'm going to, I don't know, make my bed or mm-hmm. tomorrow mm-hmm. or by tomorrow I'm going to make this for dinner or whatever. You're doing this really short-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you approach managing the long term?
Mm-hmm. So, like I just mentioned, this is something that I'm very new at. And one of my least favorite questions that I ever get in interviews is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And those questions would just paralyze me because I never felt like I had the resources to be able to think about them in a way that was really lucrative for me. And even now, to give you a short answer to that question is I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years, but the way that I approach it now is that I would like to be able to support myself in a healthy environment, both personally and professionally. And I have certain checkpoints that I've created for myself to make sure that I'm on a path to fit my ideal philosophies. And so for me, I don't necessarily see myself concretely being the executive director of a chamber music festival. that's not, I don't have a concrete goal like that, but I do ask myself, am I fulfilled in my work? Am I fulfilled in my personal life? Are those who are close to me, my family, my partner, are they fulfilled? Am I helping or hindering them? And artistically, like, do I feel like I'm producing good art? Do I feel like the audiences that I am reaching are fulfilled by the art that they're receiving? How am I affecting the community in my job and my personal life? And is it too much? I often say yes to a lot. And I've kind of learned that about myself over the years, and I've burned out a little bit in the past, and now I'm kind of on a path to really getting to the bottom of what makes me happy and what can I do that is quality work, and kind of what eggs can I put my basket in, so to speak. So so while I don't have concrete goals that I have, you know, by 2020 I want to be married and buy a house, and by 2021 I want to be making this much money or something like that, I do have these kind of philosophies that I check in with about every 6 months, and if I feel like something is getting off track with one of those those pillars that I talked about, then I sit down and I reassess the situation and see what I can do to make sure that I'm fulfilling those needs. And that can look like a lot of different things. It's being open with people is one. So meeting with my boss and making sure that we're both feeling good about the work that we're doing, or talking to my partner about what their needs are and how that aligns with mine and where compromise might be. So I don't, the very longer term thing is still hard for me, but kind of taking these smaller steps to be able to look into what the future might look like helped me a little bit. And starting to save a little bit of money too. It's always hard, but just starting with the littlest bits can go a long way.
Yeah. Awesome. You mentioned in there that making art is important to you as well as the administrative work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about how taking a full-time administrative job has affected or impacted your performance career in different ways?
Mm-hmm. So I play with a new music group in Baltimore called Mind on Fire, and they're dedicated to playing the works of contemporary composers alongside other art genres in the community. I will play different things like church gigs, or sometimes people need ringers for orchestras, things like that. But I will say that when thinking about performance and having a full-time job, the idea of time management and just work-life balance really comes into play here. And that's something that I got to kind of figure out in school a little bit, because I had so many part-time jobs while I was a student. So it was kind of learning how to manage that a little bit, but nothing compares to having a full-time job.
Sometimes when you leave school, all of a sudden you don't have this community all in the same place. At least that was my personal experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if you stay in touch with your friends and colleagues from Peabody or your previous jobs. And if so, how do you stay in touch with them?
Sure. So networking has been a really interesting thing for me. I don't really... The idea that sometimes people will tell you when you leave school or when you enter the workforce is like, use LinkedIn. I personally don't use LinkedIn very much. It's maybe good for other fields, or at least it's not been crucial for me in my experience. But I think when we hear the word networking, it's this very like sterile business, down to business kind of professional word. And we really want to like have an intention with every interaction that we have. And at least that's the idea that I had of networking when I was in school. And that was very intimidating to me. It was a very scary idea. And as I've entered the workforce, I kind of realized that, at least for me, networking is understanding what somebody else does and how that relates to me and finding the common ground. So not necessarily approaching somebody and saying, you have something that I need, so I want to throw my resume in your face and I hope that we talk soon. It's kind of productive. Yeah, right? That's kind of what I always thought networking was like everyone just like trading business cards and then I don't know what happens.
Each other later, I guess.
Right, yeah. Right. But instead it's like, oh, you know, you do this thing, I do that thing. They're kind of different, but in some ways they connect, and like, let's have a productive conversation about that. And maybe see where this goes. And through those more meaningful conversations, It's much more organic to me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of embrace that blurred line between social and professional relationships a little bit when it comes to networking, especially in the music field, because I've learned that just by having really good friendships with people, you can help people out professionally too. It's like, oh, you know, I need a audio engineer last minute. And okay, well, I don't know any like super professional references that I have, but I have a friend who I know is great. I know their work. Let me call them up and see if they'll do this favor for me. And then later that friend is going to need a favor and I'll be happy to return it. Other times staying connected to different people, maybe even in a professional sense, is just checking in, just saying, even if you don't have to receive something from every interaction. So sometimes it is just sending holiday cards. Oh, hey, we haven't talked in a while. How are you doing? Social media is a really big one. Following everything that your contacts are doing on social media and different outlets, and just saying, oh, this looks great. Like, or could you tell me a little bit about your thought process for programming this? And you're not necessarily trying to steal their program, but just having informed conversations about the work that you're doing with other people can really lead to more meaningful relationships, other than just, hey, I see that you have this skill or this resource and we need that from you. Here's my email. Bye. or something like that. So yeah. I kind of approach it more organically.
Is there anything that you want to share with current students?
Yes. So some advice that I have for current students, no matter what you feel like your future might look like, or what you're doing now, is to use the resources that you do have while you're in school, because they are invaluable. And especially at somewhere like Peabody, they are so plenty. But to also look outside of school a little bit, look at the community, see what's happening. There's, especially in Baltimore, there's so many things in arts and culture here that I never even realized, because they weren't necessarily happening in Mount Vernon, or they weren't advertised at Peabody. And it's so easy to get caught up in the bubble of only things happening here within your network. And you're so busy, it makes sense. But when you're out of school, it's kind of hard to connect to reality a little bit. And I think that starting to understand the ways that your art and cultural experiences can connect to a greater community, or even just take place in a way that is not in a conventional setting that you would expect, the way that the conservatory sets up for you. So, you know, like I said, I play a lot of new music in programs connected to different art forms. And that's not something that I was 100% exposed to at Peabody. Even though Peabody did some great efforts, it feels more organic coming from a place of my own interest. So just looking around and seeing what's there, and just going to a different neighborhood and trying a different coffee shop, you know, sometimes, or really informs my place in the community a lot more. Even if you don't plan on staying in Baltimore, it's just, you know, learning how to be a person in the real world. it can start with something as easy as going to a free museum, you know. So that's number one. And the number two piece of advice that I have is that it's okay if you don't know what you want to do or where you're going. Sometimes it's nice to have so many options, and you anything could fall in your lap. And if you're open to it, who knows what could happen. And I think there's a lot of pressure on, especially in music, on getting that solo career, or becoming that orchestral musician, or making that CD or those recordings, playing all these venues, that sometimes it doesn't have to look like that, or sometimes it can, but maybe the road is a little bit different than you're expecting, and that's okay, because all you see is the finished product and you don't see the journey. But probably everybody has some sort of stumbling along their way. So it's okay to not know, which I kind of wish somebody told me, but now I know, so I'm telling them.
Well, thank you so much, Zoe. This has been awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
And good luck with your job at Shriver.
Thank you.
And keep us posted.
I will.
You're up to.
Yes. Thank you.
Theme music. music for the Max Q podcast, composed by Vincent Fasano.